Let's go to Martin Bosley now, chef, author, fishmonger, and now local body politician. Martin Bosley joins me now. Hi there.
Oh, kia ora, Jesse. How are you? A renaissance man.
I was late to this. So you got the catering business. You've been volunteering at Remataka Prison, leading their Gate to Plate program, and I totally missed that you were running for council even. You've been elected South Wairarapa Council, yep. Councillor for Greytown. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Much appreciated. Yeah, it's good. Really loving it.
How did you enjoy campaigning?
I really enjoyed it. Like, it's just, you know, I find it quite easy to talk to people. I'm not sure they quite enjoy me talking back to them. But I, you know, always quite happy to tell a story and bend an ear. But I really enjoyed it, getting out and meeting people and talking about what they felt was important. And I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was great fun.
You've also been featuring some ACC ads recently. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, I've been busy. Just highlighting kitchen safety, really both at home and in the commercial kitchen. Just, you know, how easy it is to have accidents in the kitchen. Most accidents on ACC happen in the kitchen. Huge number. So just a bit of filming at my place around cooking a simple dish, but all the things that could go wrong while cooking something.
And this is people at home, less than actual commercial kitchens?
Yeah, this is from steam burns to actual burns to cuts, spills. Just and simple things like, you know, tips like always putting a cloth underneath your chopping board before you use it to stop it sliding all over the kitchen bench, you know, because things always slip in. You know, having sharp knives rather than blunt knives, and if you burn yourself, don't rub it, you know, because quite often people will rub the skin off the blister that's about to form, and that makes it worse. So you just like run it under cold running water until it gets, you know, until the sting goes right out of it, and just leave it, and it's going to blister, leave it to blister. You know, turn the pot handle around when on the stove. If you get any spills or any grease splatters, clean them up straight away. And Just simple. It seems simple. It seems basic to me, because it's like, you know, I'm in the kitchen all the time. But to a lot of people, it's like, you know, it's a bit of a revelation, actually.
And when you're trying to go fast or you're a bit stressed, I guess that's when accidents are most likely to happen.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, it is. And you know, and often that's caused by, you know, you start out with a big bed and it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller with the more mess you make. And therefore, your anxiety and your stress goes up because you're working in less and less space, you know.
Yeah.
So it all sort of becomes good. Everything seems, you know, relatable. So I always say, like, stop, clean, do some dishes, make space, and you know, just give yourself that freedom of movement, and you'll find that cooking is actually a whole lot easier when there's less anxiety and less stress involved. And that's a big one. Just keep a clean bench.
Nice one. You clean as you go, do you?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I never let the dishes build up. Use it, wash it, let it drain.
Maybe you should be married to my wife, Martin. I think you guys would get on really well. I cook almost every night, and she's always really stoked with whatever I make. And then she goes to put her plate in the kitchen afterwards. She's like, what the heck happened in here? I said, you enjoyed your dinner, didn't you?
Yeah, but you have to use every tool, every plate, every bowl, every pan that you own.
Well, I'm trying to make it so fast, you know. I'm trying to get this dish to her, and cleaning's the last thing on my mind.
Hey, clean as you go, always the way.
But another thing that that you have in common with our household is we just love to make a sauce and then use it for everything. So our latest one is, I think it's called Muhammara, where we get buy some of those jarred red peppers that have already been done for you, and you sort of whiz them up with, you know, walnuts and pomegranate molasses and other breadcrumbs and other bits and pieces. Just this beautiful sort of red sauce that can go on pretty much anything. And you have your own sort of go-to sauce for summer.
Yeah, I do. I'd like to be able to claim this as my own, but it's actually not. It's a recipe that I found way back before the interweb, when, you know, you had to get cookbooks out, and and I was a young man, and I came across a French chef called Roger Verger, who had a restaurant in the south of France, in Provence, and he became a bit of a mentor of mine without me actually working there. I just loved his food, loved his approach. It was always very, very simple. His recipes were simple, but the flavors were really clean and really pure. And one day I was reading his book, Cuisine of the Sun, it was called, and there's this recipe in there called Salsa Criosa, and he was married to, I think she was Brazilian or Colombian, and he said this was a recipe that he'd come up with that was a cross between her culture and his French culture. And so I made it, and it's now like a go-to dressing for me, or a salsa that I make every year going into summer, and I make a big jar of it.
Wicked.
I give jars of it away. It lasts forever. Like, it literally lasts for weeks, months even, in the fridge. And I take it when I'm traveling. You can take it on the boat. You can take it to the batch, the caravan. It's super portable. Like, it doesn't, you know, while I say keep it refrigerated, it doesn't have to be refrigerated the whole time. Nothing in here can go off, right? Because of the ingredients that are in here. And in fact, it gets better with age.
Wow. You know,
what starts out at the beginning of summer is vastly different by the end of summer. And it goes on anything, like, you know, from asparagus to beef, meat, you know, grilled meats, grilled fish, vegetables. It's super, super versatile. And it's just great. And so, and I've given this recipe out before, people, and they likewise say, we make it every year, and I'll probably run out of time to give out the recipe.
Must admit, I love I love asparagus. Like, we hit it hard, but yeah. By now I'm getting to a point where I'm like, okay, how are we going to have it tonight? Because I'm a little bit, you know, over the same old way. So salsa criolla it is. How do we make it?
Yeah, but right now with asparagus, like, you've got to go hard, right? Because it's such a short season.
Yes,
you just got to hit it and get. I'm the same. I would have had it every night for dinner for the last couple of weeks. Anyway, so one onion, sort of like a medium-sized onion, peeled and finely chopped. Three tomatoes, ripe if you can get them nice and ripe, seeded and chopped. And to do that, just cut the tomatoes in half and just squeeze them. Just squeeze the seeds out. Get rid of the seeds. Don't worry about peeling them. That's a silly thing that chefs do. Keep the skins on. One Telegraph cucumber or a Lebanese cucumber is absolutely fine. Peeled, seeded and chopped. And again, I just peel the cucumber, cut it in half lengthways, and then just drag a teaspoon down it, just to take the seeds out of it, and throw the seeds away. You know, quite easy. One red or yellow capsicum or bell pepper, whatever you prefer to call it, chopped finely. And the thing when I say chopped finely here is I make everything about the size of a pea or smaller. Uh-huh. And that way, when you put your spoon or your fork in, you kind of get a medley of all the ingredients, you know, all going on. 100 grams of gherkins, chopped finely. 100 grams of capers, rinsed and chopped. You want to get the brine off them. A teaspoon or so, it doesn't matter. And this is a guide, right? A teaspoon French tarragon, chopped. It can be more. I always add more. 200 mils of extra virgin olive oil. 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar. 4 tablespoons of Dijon mustard. And salt and pepper to taste, really. And basically, you just put all those ingredients into a bowl and mix it all together. It could, you know, like it just couldn't be any easier to make. It takes a bit of, you know, it might take you 15, 20 minutes to prepare everything, to chop everything up, mix it, bowl it into a glass jar, lid on, in the fridge, done. And I would always make this and leave it overnight in the fridge before actually going towards it.
Just
give it 24 hours just for it to mature and develop. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And with the olive oil and the vinegar, it's going to be enough just to keep it preserved for the.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not worried about using it within the week or anything.
No, honestly, I mean, I'll have this going for the next couple of months.
Love it.
You know, and I'll put it in the car. I'll take it up to the beach. We'll head up to Hahe so at some point after Christmas. I'll put it in the jar, take it up there, and it goes with me everywhere.
Wicked. Wicked. You know, I love it, Martin.
It's like the ultimate go-to. It's like, oh, this needs something. Salsa criolla. I'm changing lives with this, Jesse. I'm changing lives.
Thank you, counsellor.
Go well. Happy Christmas.